From Podcast One and the voice of the American people, it's time to Fight Back with Barbara Boxer.
It's so hard, I think, for the average person who has to get up in the morning to follow this stuff. This is a problem solvable. All we have to do is look around the world. They have made a difference in Florida. It's unbelievable.
Listen free and subscribe to Fight Back with Barbara Boxer, exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Drew?
Yeah, we really do. We actually do.
What you doing, buddy?
Got so much stuff to talk to you about. I don't know where to start.
I'm
always like in here. I save stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm certain you've gone over it on ECS until you're sick of it. But you and I have not talked about Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know her?
No. Or I don't know that I know her.
I
was told she was a guest on Loveline something, but I don't remember meeting
her. We talked a little bit
about
it.
Why would I remember? We
had our Loveline many times, probably after you left.
I didn't talk in real depth about it on ACS, so I had a couple thoughts.
Ironically, the radio has an engineering booth. The engineering booth that I stare into every day, I had a long talk with Stormy Daniels in that booth 8 years ago. About she's a producer, director of pornography, right? She stopped performing and she started
in the booth.
Yeah, we were sitting in the booth. I don't remember why we were in there. Like, I think I did an interview to record for something else. It was an engineering booth I was in.
And now it's just off time, not an interview.
Before the show, it was off air.
Okay,
and we were just sitting there chatting, and there were several. It wasn't like me and her alone. There were several people there. I paid $100,000 afterwards, but anyway, so we were. Chatting and she was talking about producing these films and she doesn't know how to perform anymore. She's very prickly, right? And she's like, "Hey man, I'm an artiste. I produce these things now." I went, "All right, interesting. Well, what have you?" And she goes, "I've learned something about males and I want to make female pornography and I've learned about female pornography." I went, "Oh, interesting. Good. Tell me.
Pornography for
women,
females.
For women." Uh-huh. And she goes, "It's a very simple equation." She goes, "Men want to see different kinds of people having sex. Period. Mm-hmm. Women, for the most part,
kittens wrapped in $20 bills."
Yeah. And it's for the most part. So those of you that don't fit in this category, women is a much more protean category. Mm-hmm. But for female humans, they want to know why these people like each other so much that they want to have sex. So they need some initial narrative that tells them that.
Makes sense.
And she had great success having done so, selling to females.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, although I don't know what great success means in her world.
I don't either, but she felt like she cracked a little code by having done that, and it helped her sales.
And why did you find her prickly?
I don't know her well enough to know for sure, but there's a lot of... if you notice when she talked to Anderson Cooper and she said... You know, Mr. Trump came in and said something about the magazine. He's on a magazine cover. And she goes, "Does this work for you?" It's like, it's a lot of, "Hey, man, don't you know it's me? Who do you think you are?" A lot of, "Hey, man," a lot of, you know what I'm talking about? That attitude.
You tell me.
And then she goes, "Does that work for you?" 5 minutes later, they're having sex. So, yes, obviously it does work for him, even though she took great exception to it. So, okay. Well done, Stormy. But anyway.
And by the way,
I have no hard feelings. I don't dislike Stormy Daniels.
I'm hard prickly.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I noticed there's a lot of people giving their version of everything, which is sort of like... So here's what you have to figure out. You have to figure out a way to go, "Well, I had sex with this guy really upon our first meeting, but I also have to figure out a way to reconcile that way with I'm a discerning and I'm a lady." So you go, "I showed me a picture of a magazine. He was on the cover of Golf Digest." And I said, "Psh, does that work for you?" Like it's a Shania Twain song from the 90s. And then you're blowing them 10 minutes later. So, evidently obviously it's somewhat effective.
Somewhat.
Or maybe it just works on dumb people. But either way, and then later on, she's now caught in this intersection. I'm doing an interview with Anderson Cooper, I kind of have this new thing, though. I don't know if you guys give this any thought, but I'm wondering, in the new world order of the Me Too and the Harvey Weinsteins and everything, you know how when they go out and interview a black guy, they have to send the black reporter?
Yeah.
I wonder if they now have to send the gay reporter to talk to the female, because if you start asking pointed questions as a heterosexual male about the encounter.
My wife pointed that out.
Yeah.
Oh. And yet he seemed not to understand some of the, I mean, not be motivated to ask some of the questions that a heterosexual male might be, which is interesting.
What I'm saying is you send the black reporter to interview P. Diddy because he can't be called a racist if he asks questions. No, if P. Diddy had a situation with some tax evasion problem in 2004 and Honky Whitington asked it, then he's going to be like, hey, how's this? Is this racist coming in here and asking this question?
Sure.
If it's a black guy ask it, then you don't get the – and we figure that out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if the New World Order is send the gay guy in to talk to the chicks about having sex, because if you're doing it, it's crossing the line.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to poke around without taking some of your gender, you know, your white male privilege, your cis male perspective, your patriarchal privilege, all that would come with you. Right. So now – she has to balance this thing where she goes, I left the restroom. He was sitting on the edge of the bed. I knew he wanted sex. Did you want to have sex with him? No. But you did have sex with him. So did the magazine work? No. But you did have sex with him. Did you want to have sex with him? No. But you did have sex with him. So it's a way to sort of balance. And there's a version. Now, I don't believe when anyone says, here's the conversation I had with the powerful dude, I rarely ever believe it.
Mm.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it when the guy says, you know, so what happened? These gangbangers are on my lawn. I said, if you want trouble, you came to the right place.
Mm.
And they put their knives down and they walk right back to their cars.
Yeah,
like, I don't believe that guy. I don't believe that guy.
Yeah.
I don't believe 28-year-old porn star said to Donald Trump sitting in the pro shop, is that magazine work on? I don't believe a lot of people. When people tell stories,
memories are reconstructed. They're not films.
It's not even a memory. Yeah. It's I will tell you the version I wish had gone down.
Not maybe. I have too many
people give me the dude. I told this dude, hey, you come to the wrong place. It's like that's not you. And you don't say that.
Here's the part I was disturbed by. She goes, I was in a parking lot and some dude ran up to me and I was holding my daughter and said, hey, you better keep that story to yourself. And that's all she said. And that the narrative then became Donald Trump's lawyer sent a operative to go scare the shit out of her. And Anderson asked no – like, did you call somebody? Is there video of this? Was this just some random dude in a parking lot in Las Vegas, which it was?
No. He said, did you call the police? And she said, no. I was too scared, which is kind of
I tend to call the cops
when I am scared.
Yeah.
It's a weird, again, that's a, I didn't want to have sex and I had sex with the magazine doesn't work. It did work. And I was threatened, but I didn't want to call the police because I was scared.
Yeah.
Okay. I sort of get it. The part that's funny is she was like, I was so scared. I was so rattled. I could barely finish the mommy and me yoga class. I was like, hold on. You then took your kid out of the car. You went in and did the.
Yeah. Too scared to call the cops. But not too scared to.
I'm just saying, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're going to go work out and you got your kid with you to go do the mommy and me workout and somebody really rattles you in the parking lot, you tend to get in your car, find a mountain road and just sob openly while you're driving the car, or go find a bottle of something or crawl into it or call the cops and wait right there. You don't tend to just go, okay, now I'm going into the gym and me and the kid are going to do our yoga class together. Like that's kind of it's not a let's finish doing whatever it is we were doing, especially working out, which is kind of a weird, not you, Drew, you're a goddamn animal, but like everyone else. You know, if you said to me,
and to be fair, yoga studios tend to be like light and open with big windows in the front. And stuff.
I'm just
that's
saying,
not where you want to go.
If I was going to go work out, and someone like came to me and went, your sister OD'd on pain meds, I wouldn't go, wow. Then I finished working out, you know, and then I came home, like, and then I grieved.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be it'd be like a stop in your, if you're that rattled, there's usually a, I'm calling the cops, find me a beer, or I'm just going to go on a drive and cry while I drive.
But like, how about just asking, how do you know somebody sent this dude? This was a parking lot in Las Vegas, and there's, people are very heated these days about their politics. Some guy just, you know, came after you. That's a higher probability.
Well, to me, it's always this. It's always this. Look, it's, I want to know, my interest isn't how did you feel, or did you feel like you're being intimidated, or did you feel like you're being threatened? That's, I'm not interested in that part, because everyone feels threatened. Right. Everyone feels intimidated. Right. Never me.
Right.
Everyone else.
Me.
You.
For sure.
I want to know what happened.
Yeah,
that's the answer is what happened.
Yeah.
So then the next day I woke up, opened the door, there's a dead cat with a note on it in the front. You know, I want to know what happened. And if the answer is, well, then nothing happened, then there's not much meat on that bone. It doesn't mean someone can't be threatening. It just means when nothing happens,
when you're in politics. I remember when Anita Hill, back when she was testifying against Clarence Thomas, all the threats that she got out in public constantly.
Right.
She said it was terrible. So people, when they get into the political arena, people will say stuff to them. They just do.
That guy.
Threatening horrible stuff.
That guy had a move, man.
Who, Clarence Thomas?
Anita Hill's like, he gave me a can of Coke and there's a pube on it. It's like, wow. Harvey Weinstein is waving that shit off. Like, come on. No potted plant to beat off it?
To be fair, he made a joke about the pube on the can of Coke. Let's be fair.
All right. Still kind of a weirdy pube and Coke. Like, I don't know a lot about ladies, but I know that doesn't get them in the mood.
No? What the hell? So better to have your face on a golf magazine? Something like that?
I'd say better make the cover of Golf Digest than put the pube on the Coke.
Let's talk about something savory, like True Car, MSRP, all these things. You may not know what they stand for. Invoice, list price, dealer price, all confusing. Well, we're introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay. That includes fees and accessories before you get to the dealership. So you look at the scattergram of fair prices. You lock in the price. You know what you've locked in as price for a specific vehicle. The True Car dealers vie for your business. They are in competition with each other. And once you lock in that vehicle, that price, then you see the fees and accessories. You know everything as you walk onto that lot. True Price is a great price. True Car shows you what others paid. So for the same car, very same car, and you'll be able to judge for yourself. Certified dealers set the True Price competitively. Again, they fight for your business so they can win it. So when you're ready to buy new or used, all you got to do is visit True Car and you will enjoy a more confident car buying experience. You'll see the scatter, you know a fair price, you know it's a specific vehicle, you'll see the fees and accessories, and you'll know that it's the result of good old-fashioned competition. Some features not available in all states.
Her lawyer came across like a smug douche.
Yeah.
Like super douchey and super smuggy douchey. But all those stories.
Smug douche or super smuggy douchey?
Super smuggy douchey. All those stories rub me the wrong way because I'm always sort of like, you know, like she deserves fair treatment. It's like, I don't get it. She had sex with a guy.
Yeah.
You need to get paid? You need fair
she
treatment?
She got paid.
You know what's going on though. There is a whole. There is a thing going on in our society that didn't formally exist. And I've always kind of described it to you this way, which is, you know, I come up and kick you in the shin, and then you push me, and then I scream, why did you push me?
Right. No, I call the cops for assault. and then I tweet about it.
She doesn't want to talk, but she feels like she has to talk because she needs to set the record straight. So many people are saying so many things. There's so much misinformation out there. It's like, first off, there's not an ounce of the misinformation is, the only misinformation is I thought you guys had a regular thing. I didn't know this was a nothing burger. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know it was one and done. I thought there was a whole thing going on.
Right.
But in terms of misinformation, you're a porn star. You showed up at the golf resort. He took you up into a suite and nailed you. I don't know that there's any more information that anyone – I don't think there's almost any misinformation as it
well, –
this has not Benghazi.
And
misinformation.
And this is the same information I had before the interview, strangely.
I didn't learn what – other than his – her lawyer being a douche, I didn't learn one thing about the information. But she needed to sit down and set the record straight. I don't know that there was a record, number one. Number two, why do people know about this? I mean, I don't – unless there's a part of the story, Gary and
well,
Matt
the
and
part,
you guys –
I'll tell you the part. The part is the $130,000, whether or not that was campaign finance law violation or something. But the attorney says he paid it completely on his own and had nothing to do with the campaign. And so
but
whatever.
What do we need – what story got out that we needed – some closure
nothing.
I mean,
the story, what got out was CNN got a good interview with her, an inclusive interview, that, or CBS rather. That's what
right.
got out.
But
listen,
she didn't need to set the record straight.
No, there's no record to set straight. Well, if they thought they were going to set a record straight of some type, they failed.
But her thing is like people were out having misinformation about this story, and I want to straighten it out. But why were we having? Why did we even know about it?
Remember when I said she was prickly?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of, hey, man, you're not the boss of me, right?
It's like, she didn't put a condom on that prickly.
Right. Not indeed, she did not. We found out about that. That's breaking news.
Yeah.
But hang on. There was a piece of the story. God damn it. The campaign finance issue. And
that seems like a stretch.
Yeah.
And by the way, the thing about campaign finance stuff is people get busted on it all the time and they pay a fine. That's
well, what's
it.
Interesting,
Obama got busted on it, and he paid $350,000 or something. He just pay a fine.
Yeah, here's what's interesting is, and I did a
although well, the campaign finance thing to me was Anderson Cooper saying, "How do we justify this? We're a news organization. We're going to dedicate 25 minutes to a porn
right.
star.
That's right.
How do we justify this?
That's right.
Answer: Come on in, talking head." In suit with flag on lapel, you explain the legal ramifications of this, and then we can get back to interviewing the porn star, and now we've justified it. Although, again, campaign finance stuff is just settled with fines.
Well, what's interesting, I did an interview with Ryan Holiday. It'll be up at drdrew.com at the Dr. Drew podcast soon. And he was saying, you know, he wrote a book called Trust Me, I'm Lying, where he essentially invented or at least exploited the phenomenon of putting fake news in the internet, putting it on blog sites, and then it getting reported by the mainstream media as fact. And he mastered that, and that's how he did some of his marketing maneuvers for American Apparel. He thinks that we have hammered so hard on social media and thought police and mandated speech that much like if you use too much antibiotics, a resistant strain develops.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Trump is a resistant strain. He's mm-hmm. resistant to all this. He's a creation of the excesses of all that in the social media. He roars that like a bacterium. I would say
very very astute
isn't that
point.
Astute? Yeah,
I
and
know
I would
it's
say
not yours because it's very
it's
astute.
Too astute. I know, and not only that, but
it's just astute. It's not
let
even
me give you
too astute.
Let it's me give you too astute.
Astute
for it's too astute for me. That's
it's just astute.
All right. And I would, and Scott Adams then pointed out and said he's unblackmailable because
too astute.
This he's
astute.
Resistant. He's a
no.
Trump,
I look.
He's a Trumpamecium.
No,
he's a,
it's like
he's
it's,
a bacterium
it's like,
that's resistant.
Snoop Dogg can smoke pot wherever he wants.
Right.
Nobody says anything.
Right.
It's just Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Howard Stern can say whatever he wants. He's Howard Stern.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Right.
Eventually, you become resistant.
The thing, yeah. Also, and here's part of resistant. The thing. One thing I was saying on my show was like, well, this guy came up, talked to her in the parking lot. She felt threatened. So what do you say to that? My answer is, you guys have been saying you felt threatened for 5 years nonstop about everything all the time.
Yeah.
You felt threatened about third-hand smoke.
Yeah.
So now, unfortunately, for those who've actually been threatened, I tend not to believe them anymore because you're the boy who called threatened.
Mm-hmm.
You spent so much time explaining to me why everyone felt threatened or this is how I feel
Oof.
And I felt threatened that I tend not to believe anyone who says they felt threatened. I believe people who say, I felt threatened. Now let me move my hair and show you the scar where the guy hit me with the broken bottle.
Yeah.
But when you just go, I felt threatened. I don't believe you anymore because you guys have fucked out your feeling of threatened.
Yeah.
There's so many people talking about it. felt threatened is up there with calling someone a racist. It doesn't mean a thing anymore. It used to mean something. Calling someone a racist was a major deal. And if you called someone a racist, it'd be like, what happened? Oh, man, he got drunk. He got on the air. He started going off about black players and how they weren't smart enough to manage a game or whatever it is. It was something.
Everybody, please pull that little piece out and then send it to Huffington Post.
Not you saying, I'm for school vouchers. That didn't make you right. You had to be a racist. You had to say something. I felt threatened meant it involved a machete.
Yeah.
And being a racist, hey, so think about what you think. Think about another. I felt threatened. What's that mean anymore? Or this person's a racist. Hey, he's homophobic or whatever it is. Like, does that even move the needle anymore? Okay, so you assholes have successfully, you've used this so early and so often that it actually has lost all its teeth and its meaning. So when I hear a woman saying, I was in the parking lot in Las Vegas with my child and I was threatened, I go, maybe she was, maybe she wasn't. I'm no longer listening when I hear I felt. Pull out a note and show me where it said, you know, you're not going to see tomorrow, bitch, or whatever. And I'll tend to look at it, but the way you felt,
yeah,
done. I wish I could believe people who felt a certain way, but too many people have been feeling too many different ways, and I'm done listening.
Yeah,
see what it's done.
Yeah,
and again, that's what true. Yeah, Trump's blackmail proof.
Part of that. Yeah, blackmail proof and resistant bacterium.
Interesting.
Resistant to the antibiosis.
Well, you're not, and that's why you need LifeLock, people. Another major data breach, man. This time, Orbitz may have compromised almost 900,000 customers. Hackers access credit card numbers, names, dates, birth, phone numbers, addresses. In today's connected world, it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. You know, these guys are lazy, Drew. They want to stay home. And they want to hack your accounts and then want to drain it and get all your information. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices. You can't see, man. You can't or fix on your own. You need LifeLock. So if you have a problem, they have agents that will work to fix it, but you won't because you'll have LifeLock. Right, Drew?
That's right. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 10% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for 10% off your first year, an additional 10% off.
All right. Let's talk to Jeff, 30, Santa Monica. Jeff?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Yeah, good. Well, actually, not that good. But big fan. The Happy Endings Hollywood. Saw you a bunch of times. Adam, Drew, I met you at the MTV
Sports
Movie
Bar.
Week. Anyway,
like a
I'm
bar.
A gnarly. Yeah. Anyway, I'm a gnarly alcoholic, and I was just kind of wondering, like, because I've researched a bunch online, I can't find out why they won't give you. Because I'm not going to stop drinking, probably. Why they won't give you an Ativan prescription, like
to help you detox? To help you detox, or is some sort of replacement?
Yeah. Like when I want to detox,
because alcohol withdrawal is the one drug for which the withdrawal is not infrequently fatal. And so, if you are that bad that you need to be medically monitored, it needs to be in a structured environment.
What's Ativan?
Ativan's like Valium, Librium.
Yeah,
do we just take it instead of drinking?
I've had one seizure, and I did go to Claire's. Like you told me on Loveline, like I don't know, in like 2010 or something.
Go to Claire Foundation.
Yeah, I went to Claire's in Santa Monica.
What's your drink?
You know what? Like anything. It's mostly vodka, like the cheapest vodka possible. Right now, I'm drinking Steel Reserve.
So are you able to work or function?
Yeah, of course.
Well, not of course. They won't go for long.
I edit videos, so it's not that hard to work.
So at what point do you think you might stop?
I think once they tell me I have, cirrhosis. I mean, I go to the hospital a lot.
And you understand cirrhosis, like, it's too late, right?
I take, like, ambulance rides and stuff to the hospital. Like, I... And then what do? They give me, like, 3 Ativan, and then that's about it. Unless I've been in ICU, too, and that's when they hook you up on the Ativan drip.
Hey, Jeff, do you have any family or friends or anyone that could help?
Yeah, my mom, but she's old, and I don't have any friends, really.
Why not?
I have one who lives in Georgia, but...
Why no friends?
No, I fucked all my relationships up with my friends.
Did you have some horrible trauma growing up?
Yeah, I was molested by my uncle when I was, like, I don't know, 8 or something.
For a while? Like, repeatedly?
Yeah.
And then
me and my cousin also, because he was, I think, molested by him, too. So
I get this feeling you also saw something awful. Did you see somebody die or something?
Well, yeah, my dad.
Okay.
You were so good, Drew.
Drew's
yeah,
good.
My dad died when I was Dr. Drew. He died when I was 18.
And what was the circumstance?
Cancer.
Okay.
Cancer.
Where's your mom live?
She lives in Connecticut. Actually, I'm visiting her right now.
All right.
She's
so
right here.
So this is all treatable, man. So you don't have to die.
You're 30. Jeff, you don't get how young 30 is until you get to our age. 30 is really young. It's really...
I always hear you, Adam, like, talk about, like, how you were 30 when you, like, first kind of became successful and stuff. Like, yeah. I agree with you.
No, I agree with me, too. My life didn't begin until I was 30, maybe 31. Yeah. So you're 30. So there's plenty of time on the clock.
So what do I do right now?
I got an idea. Here's what you do.
I'm drinking right now.
It's all right. Here's what you do.
I probably won't detox for another, like, 10 hours or
That's
whatever.
Fine. So what you do is you go to a meeting, you look online, you have ask somebody to come pick you up. You don't drive
But
yourself.
What if I get sick?
If you get what?
Then just go to the hospital.
If you get sick? Hold on. Go to the meeting, raise your hand. I'm drinking. I'm out of control. I need help. Can you guys help me?
Yeah.
Just can you guys help me? It's all you got to say. And let's see what they come up with. Because they usually they usually know lots of resources. They usually know who's good, who's not. They can sit on you themselves. Go to a meeting. AA. Go to an AA meeting. Raise your hand. I'm out of control. I'm looking for help. That's all. That's all you got to do.
And they'll pick you up.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Christy, 39, Oregon. Christy?
Oh. Asleep.
Hello.
There you
Hello.
Are.
Hey.
Hi. Hey. What's going on?
Hey. What's up?
I was calling about bunions.
Bunions. Okay.
Bunions. All right.
Which are these?
Both
which
of my big toes.
Okay, so it's arthritis at the toe, right where the toe hits the foot. Right.
You know, I'm gonna take this moment and thank God and thank my parents. Most people have something going on with their feet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they just look weird. Sometimes their big toes in like a weird shape. Sometimes they have that thing where their second or third toe is like a lot longer than their big toe. And then they have like arches and heel spurs and bunions and things. There's like things. People have things with their feet. I have nothing with my feet. They look beautiful. They're magnificent. They're, you know, aesthetically pleasing.
Mm.
I wish I could find some chick with a foot fetish because she would worship me. I have no problem with flip-flops or sandals. And I've never had, like, the arches, the bunions, the hammer toe, like, ingrown nails. And I've never had a thing
Thanks, Adam.
With my feet. I am blessed. I'm chosen. Now.
You're lucky.
You've been cursed.
Mm.
So let's discuss that.
Yeah, my feet hurt all the time. I have wonderful tennis shoes. I walk
so
my
how,
dog.
So how do you know? Do you see the bunions? You can see the deformity, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are they?
For over 10 years now. Yeah.
For how long?
10.
Since you were 29. Years. That's crazy. Do you have arthritis elsewhere?
So bunions
most likely,
is arthritis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially.
Yeah, I had a doctor that told me just to wear wonderful shoes.
Yeah, there's a surgery to repair it. It makes me wonder if you have gout in there or something, too, the fact that you're
so young.
My dad has gout. My dad has gout.
So why don't we make sure this isn't gout? Because that's what really hurts is gout. Bunions don't usually bug people that much, at your age anyway.
It, gets sore sometimes. It inflames sometimes.
When it inflames, it gets red and hot?
Yes.
That's gout. That's called podagra. In that same joint, gouty arthritis. So
who should she go to?
Go to a podiatrist. You know what the best thing would be is go see an orthopedic surgeon who's trained in foot surgery. And then they can really sort of see you all the way through this process. If you ever need a bunionectomy, they can do it.
I don't even have a lot of weird hair on my feet.
You have weird hair everywhere else below
your waist.
But
not on my feet.
Weird.
It's weird. Like I have some sort of foot gift. But it goes unnoticed.
Yeah, it's funny.
So that's why I have to talk about it. Because if I don't talk about it, nobody will.
The beauty of Adam's feet.
Thank you. I'll tell you about the beauty of Hims, man. 65% of men start losing their hair by age 35. And I was gossiping with my hairdresser yesterday, Drew.
Oh, that must have been something.
My hairdresser is a new person every single time I get a haircut.
Because he's your man that has traded his Bobo for a Sav.
Oh, Oscar?
Oscar.
He's down the road. Uh-huh. I go to Sport Clips now, and I just go in and I go, how long's the wait? And they go, are you looking for any particular hairdresser? And I go, no. And they go, well, then no wait. And I go, that's why.
Let's do it.
So I'm not married. But she was telling me, a lot of guys, man, she says in their 20s that hair's thinning. Like she sees it.
Sure.
I mean, I guess you're working on
someone's
head.
Well, that's when it starts.
It starts making its move in its
20s. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's, and by the way, once that hair ship sails, it's hard to get it back in port. ForHims.com, one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and more. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional, but you got to get in and you got to get it early. You can talk with a real doctor and get real medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss, generic equivalents of name-brand prescriptions to keep your hair. No gas station countertop supplements, no waiting rooms or awkward doctor visits. Our listeners get a trial of Hims for just $5 while supplies last. Could cost hundreds at the pharmacy. So you want to try it out for just $5? Go ahead. For Hims.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. For Hims. Hey, hey. ForHims.com/ADS, ForHims.com/ADS. All right. I'm doing live shows everywhere. Coming up, Capitol Theater, Madison, Wisconsin. That's April 6th. So that's right around the corner up in here. It's coming up this Friday. Should be a couple tickets left. So this Friday, right? Yeah. And then May 17th, Agora Theater, Cleveland, Ohio. May 18th, Royal Oak Music Theater. That's in outside of Detroit, Michigan. Just come on out and say hi. And Aladdin Theater, Portland. Two shows. We're taping them. Doing my first stand-up special, June 9th. Yes, Drew.
Go to DrDrew.com. Check out the family of pods that are there. Lo and behold, on the Dr. Drew podcast, it is Ryan Holiday. So you can hear that. Great. It's an amazing interview. Very, very lively interview. Chris liked it. He was the one engineering that one. And check out our Facebook page and our YouTube pages, too. We appreciate it. We do a lot of Facebook Live right now.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.